About 3 years ago, my wife and I took a trip to Scotland to kind of trace her roots, and she was bound and determined that her family had a castle over there, and we're going to find that castle. And indeed, her family did have a castle. Clan Irvine, they've got a drum castle up there in Aberdeenshire. So there you go. So we went up there and we saw it. So while we were there, we spent a little time in St. Andrews. Anybody ever been to St. Andrews, the city there where the old course is? And just absolutely beautiful. We walked from a hotel across the old course over toward the beach, and we were taking a walk up and down this beach. And as we were doing so, we overheard some people, and they were talking about the fact that that beach is where the famous scene in the Chariots of Fire was filmed. You remember the runners running down the beach, you know, and the movie and the music going, you know, and it's always so inspiring. And that's where they happened. So we're walking along there, and we're thinking about this and talking about it. And so we were talking about Eric Liddell, the great Scottish runner. What do they call him? The Scottish flyer or whatever it was. I don't know. And we were thinking about his life and the way he overcame some obstacles that were put in front of him. You know, he chose to do the right thing in his life, and he said, "I'm not going to run on Sunday," and so it put him out of the 100-yard dash, which was his strength. And so he said, "I'm not giving up," and so he switched over to the 400, and in fact, he pressed on. He overcame these obstacles, and what happened in his life? He won the gold medal, anyways, in a race that really wasn't his specialty. So I was thinking about Eric Liddell, and I'm thinking about the way that he pressed on in his life. He didn't give up. And the result, as I said, was victory for him. Victory for him. So I was thinking about that in relationship to the talk that we're doing this morning. And I realized as I was reading the passages that we're going to look at today that the Apostle Paul was a sports fan. If you know anything about Paul, in his writings, he uses these sports metaphors over and over and over, doesn't he? He talks about boxing and he talks about... But the thing that he talks about most in relationship to a sports metaphor is running a race. He's talking about running, 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 running. And so this morning, in the passage that we're going to look at in Philippians chapter 3, 12 through 14, he talks about running that race and pressing on. So if you turn with me this morning to that passage that I mentioned, Philippians 3, 12 through 14, we're going to take a look at what Paul has for us here. Philippians 3, 12 through 14. Are you ready? "Not that I have already obtained it, or I have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which I also was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid a hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. I haven't obtained it. I haven't laid a hold of it. I haven't arrived yet." So the question is, what is it? What is it? What is this thing he's talking about? What is the goal? And the goal is what Bob Voyles talked about last week. In verse 8, it's that thing of surpassing value, a thing of real value. Paul is saying this thing that is ahead of us, there's a tremendous value in it. And it is knowing Christ. It is being like Christ. Is being the kind of leader that Christ is. So it's being Christ-like. That's the goal that is ahead. And Paul is encouraging us to press on toward that goal. So that is the it. It is Christ-likeness that we must pursue. In other words, Paul says, we must be men who are like Christ, men who act like Christ. Men who do what Christ does, men who lead like Christ, men who work like Christ, men who are husbands that represent the characteristics and attributes of Christ. That's what he's saying we should do. That, Paul says, is something that we all must strive for. In fact, in the heading in my Bible in this passage, Paul actually says that this is the goal of life. The goal of life. You ask, what's it really all about? Here it is. The goal of life is becoming more Christ-like, pursuing His likeness and becoming more like Him. That's this thing that we press on toward. And so we'll develop that a little bit more as we go. So Paul often lays out a game plan for people. In this passage, he's like a coach, He's laying out a race plan. So he says, you need to press on toward this goal, and I'm going to help you do it. So he gives us kind of four ways that we can do that. So here they are. He says, first thing you need to do is be aware that you haven't arrived yet. He says, I'm not there yet. In other words, I'm not perfect yet. There was this thought going around that one could achieve perfectionism. Perfection, they called it perfectionism. And they were saying to Paul, you know, you can be perfect and you don't have to sin anymore. And Paul's saying to these people, no, that is not the way it works. You're not perfect. I'm not perfect. We all still sin and we all still need to strive for perfection. We need to continue to press on toward it. So he's debunking a false theology that was going around at that time, and at the same time encouraging people to press on toward the goal of life. So Paul gives us this plan, and the first thing he said that we see in verse 12 there is, be aware that we all have a long way to go. I've got a long way to go. You probably have a ways to go. Maybe it's shorter distance than I have, but we're all not there. We're not perfect. And so Paul says, don't be compliant, don't be complacent, don't be content, continue to press on to that thing that you need to obtain, that you have not obtained, because you're not perfect and I'm not perfect. And Paul says, I know who I am. You need to know who you are. And as we do this self-evaluation, we come to the realization that there are things in our life that we need to work on and eliminate, so we move toward being Christ-like, toward perfection, because that's what Paul is saying. Use the word not perfect. So press on. Press on is the second thing he says. First, understand that you're not perfect. You got a ways to go. And number two, press on. In other words, give that maximum effort. You know, Paul's talking about running a race. And in his own life, he says, I run or I follow after something of great value. He's following after Christ, isn't he? And he says, that's the thing of great value. So let me follow after that. You should do the same. And you should give it everything you have. Apply maximum effort to it. You know, Paul talks many times about straining, you know, for the goal and putting everything he has into it. And in other words, with every spiritual muscle he has, he put into his race, and we should do the same thing. Because Paul knew that that's what it takes to win. And that's why he said to his friends in Corinth this famous line, you'll probably remember it. He says, if you're going to run the race, there'll be many men in the race, but here's what you should do. Run to win. Don't just run. Run to win. And we all need to run to win our race toward perfection, toward Christ-likeness. So we run to win. Number three, he says, don't be distracted. Be aware that you're not there yet. Apply maximum effort. Don't be distracted. And this is interesting. Look at verse 13, guys. Don't be distracted. Maintain a focus. Don't be distracted. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of you yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching toward what is ahead. What is it that lies behind sometimes in our lives, men? You have things in your life that maybe are anchors that keep you from moving ahead. Maybe decisions that you've made in the past. Maybe things you're still struggling with. Paul had that. Look at Proverbs 4, 25 and 27. Let me just read it to you. Proverbs 4. Solomon, you know, the greatest, most wise man, I should say, ever. 4, 25 and 27. Listen to this. Let your eyes look directly ahead. Let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the path of your feet, and your ways will be established. What's he saying? Same thing a runner does. We run a race. You better watch where you're going, right? You fix your eyes on something ahead and you run toward that. You don't look to the left, you don't look to the right, you don't look at your feet, because if you do that, you tumble, you fall, and you're out of the race. So Paul says, don't be distracted by things that are going on in your life. Keep your eyes focused on that prize. Focused on the thing that you're trying to attain. Don't look back. Don't look back is one of the things he's saying. It's an interesting statement that he says when he says, this one thing I do. In other words, this statement that Paul makes was something that was really important to him. This one thing I do, I forget what lies behind. Anybody ever see the movie The Apostle Paul? There's a movie out maybe sometime early 2018, maybe, The Apostle Paul. I was really struck by one of the scenes in that movie. And it played out like this. The scene was Paul was in his cell there in the dungeon in Rome, wondering whether he was going to live or die, wondering what Nero's decision was going to be, what his fate would be. And so he's laying in his cot in the darkness, but his eyes are open, he's not sleeping. And you can tell by the way he begins to act that he is in great distress. His body draws up and his facial expression changes and he is in great distress. Something is going on in Paul's mind. He's thinking about something that's happening. And here's what happens. He begins to say over and over and over, "Your grace is sufficient for me. Your grace is sufficient for me. Your grace is sufficient for me." In other words, he's thinking about things that he has done in his past, and it is causing him tremendous angst and discomfort. But he realizes one thing, grace is sufficient. Grace has covered his sins. Even though he did all those terrible things in the past, God's forgiven him, and he can move on, but he still has this internal struggle, and he has to rely on God's grace. Your grace is sufficient for me. Your grace is sufficient for me. You know, Paul was a zealous persecutor of Christians, wasn't he? I mean, at his command, people were tortured. At his command, people were killed. And so Paul is dealing with these issues. You know, his life changed there on the Damascus Road, but the things that were in his mind, those memories, they were still there, weren't they, men? And so he struggled with them, and he had to rely on God's grace to get him through it. So Paul knew one thing. He had to break with the past. He couldn't let his past be an anchor to him to keep him from moving forward. And so our takeaway from this is the same, isn't it? We may have things in our past that maybe cause us to shudder at night. Maybe they cause angst in our life. I'll be transparent with you. I do. There was a time in my life I was not walking with the Lord, and I did things that make me shudder. And I'm sorry I did them. But you know what? God's grace is sufficient to me. For me, it's sufficient for you too as well, man. So we don't let these things of the past debilitate us to keep us from moving forward. We've got to do what Paul said. This one thing I know, I leave these things in the past so that I can move forward and attain the prize that lays ahead of me. That's what we need to do. So we move forward and we reach out for that thing that lies ahead of us. And so finally, the fourth thing that Paul says to us is that thing I just mentioned. I press on toward the goal for the prize. With all my energy, with all my strength, with everything I have, I press on to be Christ-like, to be more like Him and less like the old guy that I was. I press on toward perfection, is what Paul says. And in that passage, he also says, I press on toward the upward call. The upward call. What is the upward call, guys? It's that call toward perfection and toward heaven, isn't it? Any man who is called to salvation, who's chosen to follow Jesus Christ, there's this upward call, isn't there? At the end of our life, we do, in fact, achieve perfection, don't we? We can't ever do it in this life because we're mortal. We continue to sin, unfortunately, but we press on to be more and more Christ-like, more perfect, a better leader, a better husband, a better of all those kind of things. But in the end, we are made perfect, aren't we? Because of that upward call, and we will be like Christ. So that's what Paul is saying. You press on, press on, press on past this mortal life to that prize that lays before us. So, and we are here at the end of another year. 2019 just about finished, moving into 2020. It's an exciting time for me. I hope it's an exciting time for you. But I think a lot of us in this time of the year, we use the time for self-evaluation, and maybe we use the time for self-reflection. And so let me ask you to do just that. Here's a question. Have I become more Christ-like in this year? Would my coworkers say I'm more Christ-like? Am I a better leader? Would my wife say I'm a better husband? Would my children look at me and say, you know, you're a better dad this year? Have I become more Christ-like? So at the end of our lives, you know, we want to be able to say what Paul said. Remember what he said in 1 Timothy? I have run the race. In other words, he looked back at his life and he said, I ran well. I ran the race and I accomplished what I wanted to accomplish. So, men, as your leader, I want you to be able to say that. I want to be able to say that. And so I encourage you to follow the game plan that Paul gave us. Realize we have a long way to go. Give it maximum effort. Don't be distracted. And remember that the prize is great value. And the effort that you put out is absolutely worth it. So men, as you run your race in pursuit of excellence, you run your race in pursuit of perfection, press on, press on, press on. Amen?
Amen.
Father, we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for Paul and the way he so clearly challenges us to be the men that you want us to be. Father, may we examine our lives this year, check the things that need to be checked, create a new race plan, and run with maximum effort this next year. We thank you for your direction and guidance. So we pray this in your son's name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, have a great day. Merry Christmas, guys.